Before we begin, I want to tell you about another project I have coming up. An improv show I used to host and produce is coming back, online and for one night only. Perfect Match is an improv comedy show where we bring the characters and the audience decides who they want to see perform together. We'll have all your favorite characters, ranging from Yoda to George Costanza to Werner Herzog. The show is February 12th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Find the full details on my website at kicksandgigglesentertainment.com. Welcome to Break a Wish, the podcast where all your dreams come true, but with terrible, ironic consequences. I'm your host, Maddox Campbell. Joining me this time, we have Griffin Teplitsky.
Welcome to Break a Wish.
Okay, he's trying to steal my intro. And we have Chi-Hang Ma.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
And the film we're going to be breaking down for this episode is Pinocchio, the Disney classic from 1940, which I will say right out the gate, seemed impressive for 1940. A lot of the, like, animation stuff they were doing.
Yeah,
I realized how old it was.
Yeah, like 80 years old, and it still looks wonderful.
Yeah, and they had like a lot of like unnecessary effects where they did like pull focus with like blurring things.
The animators also seemed to love animating cuckoo clocks.
Clearly.
A lot of unnecessary montages of cuckoo clocks.
I think they were just trying to show off all the cool things they could animate. Yeah.
I especially like the one with mom smacking the kid's butt. A lot of butt stuff.
Oh, yeah. Jiminy rubbing his butt at the fire was awesome for us.
For us? As in...
I'm assuming.
I enjoyed it.
Community? Okay, yeah. So let's start with what is your guys' history with this film? I'll start with Griffin, because I know that your history... you mentioned it in the Aladdin podcast that you had not seen almost any of the Disneys.
No, so that was my first time watching Aladdin. This was my first time watching Pinocchio. For those who aren't, I don't know, I guess up to date on my canon, my mom did not like me watching Disney movies growing up, so I grew up without seeing most of them, other than like a VHS of the Aristocats my aunt gave me for a Christmas, and so all I saw was the Aristocats over and over and over and over again. But wow. But I still to this date, I haven't seen Mulan, I haven't seen Pocahontas, I haven't seen Beauty and the Beast. I don't know. What are other classes? I hadn't seen Aladdin before I was forced to by Maddox.
Yeah, yeah. I will. At gunpoint, for sure.
So I came into this with the same mindset, although I don't think Pinocchio is as regarded as like this nostalgia thing. Maybe it is.
But well, it is, but it's just, it's older. So it's like Aladdin would be, oh, this was new when I was a child. So it has specific nostalgia, whereas Pinocchio is more of assumed as almost a folktale. Even the Disney is considered a folktale because it's, again, 80 years old.
Right.
Oh. And I would assume that you would have picked up most of like the major plot points of Pinocchio just from like the osmosis of it being so much in our culture. Like, was there anything that surprised you in terms of like things you just like you must have kind of known about Pinocchio just from culture. So like,
I thought I had. I thought I was going to go in and watch a movie that was all about a guy's nose that grew and he lied, which happens once.
It happens once. It does happen a lot less than you remember. Yeah,
it happens once it takes up maybe a 45-second sequence, and then you don't see it again. So then I thought, oh, what is the rest of this movie going to be? Everything that takes place in the ocean onwards, I was unprepared for.
Okay, yeah.
Pleasure Island had no idea about. I didn't know Pinocchio gets kidnapped. I knew basically his nose grew when he lied. He was a puppet that came to life and he wanted to be a real boy. And that's kind of all I had known.
Okay. Well, what about you, Chi-Hang?
Wait, first I want to know, Griffin, how come your mom didn't want you to watch Disney?
Her reasoning, which I feel like is fair, having still not seen them, though. Is that they were always about like a female who needed rescuing by men.
Oh, good for her. I agree.
Yeah. I haven't seen them, so I can't back that up, but I feel like from what I know of those movies, that's generally the case.
Yeah.
It happens a lot, yeah. It's not a wrong criticism of Disney in general.
Wow, your mom is so cool.
Yeah, my mom, she also showed me, I don't know if this came up in the Aladdin one. Also, when I was 12, she sat me down and was like, if it's an R-rated movie, you can watch it if I say it's good. So we're going to watch Pulp Fiction when I was a very young child, too young to watch that, especially when you remember like the sex scene with the tied up in the dungeon and the gimp. Just me and my mom watching on some Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
But I do
love hearing about people's families. That's wild.
So, what was your experience coming in?
Oh, yes. Well, I immigrated into Canada when I was 8 and then, like, spent a lot of time learning English, like, reading Harry Potter books. So when you talk about how, you know, this is more of a fable or where Disney movies even come from, I don't know. I feel like I've just spent my whole life, my whole childhood, catching up to what people watch here. And so with Pinocchio, I feel like it's in popular culture so much, the story of him, that I felt like I've seen Pinocchio. But watching it, I realized I actually haven't, because I remember the notes just as Griffin knows about it. And yeah, I was shocked that it only happened once. I was like, at least one more time at the end. And Pleasure Island was a shock, especially when they were introducing Pleasure Island. I was like, oh God.
Yeah, this is going to be a pedophile ring for sure.
It's going to be awful.
It's clearly supposed to be an analogy for that, I guess. The stranger danger for sure is like the moral of that moment. Right?
Yeah, but the guy being like, I'm paying you to collect little boys to take to Pleasure Island was horrifying.
It was horrifying. And then to also say, they won't be little boys anymore. And then the other guy freaks out.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I mean, I guess I had seen it enough that I knew that meant donkeys, but I guess without that context, yeah, that's pretty dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out what else it could be, because I was sitting there knowing in my heart that can't be what happens. Because this is the Disney movie, and you would,
from the 40s.
If that is what had happened, it would be a bigger point in pop culture that I would have heard that's what Pinocchio was about. So right, I sat there the whole time trying for the life of me to figure out what it would be if not pedophilia.
Ugh. And you know, weirder. I don't know if either of you have ever done this, but if you rent or buy a movie off of YouTube, it shows a disclaimer before you can enter it saying, this might not be appropriate for children or something like that. And I don't know if it comes up every single time for every movie, but it came up this time and I was like, huh, I didn't think much about it. But then this part came up about kidnapping the boys. And I thought, oh, yikes. I got really scared for a moment.
Okay. Let's maybe remind some other people, because you might not be the only ones who thought you had seen Pinocchio but didn't remember any of the plot. So this plot starts out with Jiminy Cricket just looking for a warm place and going into Geppetto's workshop/house.
Rubbing his butt.
Where he warms his butt. and where Geppetto makes a lot of clockwork and wooden things, things out of wood, including the puppet Pinocchio. Also has a pet fish and a pet cat.
That fish is hot. Nice. That fish is smoking hot.
We will talk about that fish.
And
that
the cat is really needy. They made the cat so like anxiously attached.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a needy cat and an unnecessarily and uncomfortably sexy fish.
Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Hello? Welcome.
You were not uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable. So anyway, he dances around with his new puppet that he likes so much, makes an absent-minded wish that he wishes his puppet were a real boy. Wouldn't that be swell? A blue fairy that he wished upon the star flies into his house and goes, yeah, you're a nice guy. I'm going to give you what you wished for, and turns Pinocchio into a half person in that he is alive and can walk and talk, but is not a real boy yet, still a puppet. And if he proves himself, he will become a good boy. And to help him, Jiminy Cricket is assigned to be his conscience. Geppetto then, without any other training, decides to send Pinocchio to school the next day.
Yeah, off on his own.
He doesn't know what anything is.
Yeah.
Completely ill-prepared. And so he gets conned immediately and sold to a guy who does puppet shows to be like his magic puppet.
With the promise that theater is the easy road to success, which all three of us know to be true.
Theater is so easy. So much money, so much glamour. That turns, that guy takes him and makes him a slave, which he then escapes from when the Blue Fairy gives him another shot.
Yeah, they introduce the main villain of the film, and then who disappears after before the first act is done.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that. That's so interesting.
I guess the main villain then is the fox and the cat, who are the guys who sell him originally to that guy.
When I said, yeah, I had no idea there was a fox involved, and when he appears, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, same. I had that thought too.
Yeah. So then, after escaping that, he immediately gets conned by the same guys again. Immediately. This time, to be sent to Pleasure Island, where all the little rascally boys go, and it's just an amusement park where they can smoke, drink, and break things. But they start turning into donkeys.
Yep.
For ill-defined reasons on that island.
To be sold the salt mines in the circus, I believe.
Yeah, I was saying ill-defined in terms of the mechanism, because they just do. It's not like
that's
there's
true.
A spell.
Yeah, there's no spell, nothing slipped into their drinks.
Unclear.
I think the metaphor is that they turn into assholes, or jackasses, to be clear.
Jackasses, yeah.
They're always pulling pranks on each other. One of them turns into a mean man.
But then he finds out Geppetto has gone missing while looking for him and was swallowed by a whale. Because a random letter comes from the Blue Fairy again.
A letter comes down from the sky and says, the animators want to do underwater.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Fair. Of all the tragedies to happen to his father in a whale.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he throws himself into the ocean. He manages to get eaten by the same whale. He manages to save his father, Geppetto, and thereby having proved himself to be, like, I think they said the word studious, so I don't see how he's studious, but brave and selfless, he gets transformed into a real boy. Happy ending. Yeah. We can go through some of this point specifically. Let's go back to that fish. This is probably the earliest time, because this is the 1940s, but this seems to be a reoccurring Disney trend of making animal characters way sexier than they need to be. Like, they want me to have sex with their animal characters. We talked about
that's
this.
That's not
the
a valid
Frog.
Excuse. This is, don't blame Disney.
This is not on me. This is on them. Why do they do this? Can you guys think of some other examples of this? Why do they keep on trying to make animals? Like, they dolled her up. They gave her, like, really big lips and, like, eyeshadow and, like, giant eyelashes. And she's constantly kissing the other characters. Mm-hmm. That's, like, her whole thing. What's going on there? We have insight.
Apparently that's personality. You can just do that, and that's personality.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That's the only defining character of the fish. Like, we didn't need to have the fish characterized at all. I guess it's just a fish.
But also, I guess we didn't need the fish or the cat to be involved in the movie. I guess they fill time, certainly.
Also, Jiminy Cricket flirts with every female-ish thing. Like overly feminized character, whether it be a clock, whether it be a fish, or the fairy, or a puppet. Oh my gosh.
Those puppets kick up their legs. Oh, Jiminy Cricket's head swivels around.
Yeah. He was very distracted by that. He doesn't seem to care what species or whether you're animate or inanimate. Doesn't bother
him. Jiminy Cricket just wants to get off, man.
Ugh. I gotta say, I didn't really like Jiminy Cricket. I felt like he was, for someone to be Pinocchio's conscience, he was just very high-strung, hot-headed, and flirts shamelessly with any woman that comes around.
And forgets to go along with Pinocchio on his adventures.
Yep. Yeah, like,
he's slothful on his first day.
Yeah.
I will also say, it's okay, there are two wishes in this film. Because this is a podcast about magic wishes. The first one is the obvious one. Wouldn't it be nice if he were a real boy? Geppetto wants Pinocchio to be a real boy. Pinocchio himself wants to be a real boy. That's sort of the same wish. The other one I will say that kind of is made and gets granted is Jiminy Cricket asks for a big gold badge.
Oh.
Because when he gets assigned to be the conscience, he's like, does it come with a badge? Because his clothes get nicer. So, like, the only trait we really see him show is that he's, like, vain and wealth-based and greedy. Like, he's not a good conscience at all.
No.
He just knows a little more about the world than Pinocchio.
The gold badge that he got said 18 carats on it. I swear.
I did.
Yeah.
It did.
Like, is he, why did, Is he going to sell that? What's the benefit?
He's just vain. I think he's just vain. I think he wants to have a big shiny badge that he can show and impress people.
He also does a terrible job the one time he tries to explain what good and bad means. To be fair, this whole movie, it feels like the moral is don't be bad in a very vague way. Doesn't really explain morality. It's just like, well, you got to be good. Remember that.
I mean, going to school is good.
Going to school is good. Smoking is bad. Playing pool is bad.
Yeah. Which doesn't seem on scale with the other things.
Becoming an actor on a Ferris wheel.
Oh, yeah. Becoming an actor is terrible.
Don't ever do that.
Maddox, on the subject of wishes, is this where the phrase starlight, star bright comes from? Because they say it in the movie, and I know that's a phrase in real life. Was this the origin?
I don't know. I can't imagine wishing on stars starts only with Pinocchio, because it feels like it's something that goes back even further.
Mm, that's fair.
But this is like, you know, When I Wish Upon a Star is a big song in this, and also one that people will quote a lot. So it probably popularized the idea of wishing on stars more.
Oh. The song that they were singing, I don't know the words, but they were like, When you wish upon a star. Okay, that's it. Yeah.
Makes no difference who you are.
Yeah, that's
the Disney theme music too.
Yes, so like that's when you with the castle and the star like shoots up. Oh my gosh, that's never clicked in before.
I maybe had never actually seen Pinocchio before, but that's the song.
I also did not know that was the Disney song, but that makes sense.
Yeah. I guess this is one of the earlier ones. It's not the earliest though, because the earliest Disney feature I think
Steamboat
is
Snow Willie. Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie is the original Mickey Mouse. Yeah, but like the first.
That's my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, is it? You really love Steamboat Willie?
Yeah, Steamboat Willie. It doesn't get better than that.
Was that your counterfeit? Like when your mom's like, can't watch Disney, you're like, well, I'm going to get the uncut, the raw.
I got Disney. A bootleg of Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, Griffin went on the black market for just the Disney movies.
The Disney movies.
That nasty mouse driving that boat, driving that speedboat.
So Jiminy Cricket, not great at his job. His morality is not clear. What about the Blue Fairy? What do we think about the Blue Fairy in terms of a wish granter?
I don't like her dragging the bystanders into it. Like, Pinocchio didn't ask to be real. This was Geppetto's. She just should have granted a boy out of nowhere. That's what I feel. I don't know why she
just
chose
like one that looked like Pinocchio or something then, because he wished that Pinocchio were a real boy was what he wished for.
Oh, I see. I thought I was under the understanding he had just wished for a real boy.
That's a really, like, it's already a pretty bad phrasing, but that would be the worst phrasing.
So that makes more sense then. But why does Pinocchio get rules? And then why, I guess Jiminy Cricket asks to be involved and she's like, okay.
Yeah. He kind of puts himself in there, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is weird that she like grants Geppetto's wish with provisions that Pinocchio must fulfill. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also like, is it fair to ask him to be good? And like, she made him, like she gave him a soul or whatever, but didn't give him an intellect or a conscience or any of these other things. So is it fair to expect him to know right from wrong without?
Well, then we get into nature versus nurture, of course.
Yeah, I guess. But like, she made both. Like she made him, she didn't make him as a baby. They made him as like a toddler. Mm. So she put some intellect into him. She could have done more. Could have made him less of an idiot. Kind of an idiot.
I feel like she was just bored.
Yeah, let's make half a boy and tell him not to mess up and just watch what he does.
And then she does give him like a lot of like help along the way, but not like good advice. It's just like, all right, here's a second try. Find your dad. Here's where he is underwater.
I think in the novelization, the fairy, it's explained she's in her first year of anthropology, and this is the first experiment she gets to do.
Okay, so this is experimentation. That's not true. He's making stuff up. But that, there's a theory in there that like this is just her experimenting with humans, I guess, because she's some sort of divine being. freak, divine being freak, and she's just like messing with people? Is that her, how she gets her kicks?
I guess so. That's what it seems like. That was the lesson I learned from this movie. If you have powers, you can fuck with people.
And is that the best way to do it? Just to make a little doll and see what happens?
I would love to see a movie about a boy who wants to be half a boy. Like, a boy who wants to be more puppet than boy. Because think about it. Then he can... He's wood. He doesn't need to breathe. He doesn't need to eat. I feel like it's a superpower. Anyways, I digress. I'm changing the subject.
No, I think that's a great subject to go into. Why does Pinocchio want to complete the mission and become a real boy? What does he actually gain from it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He can already walk around and talk and fall on his face.
And he can breathe underwater. Like, saves him a bunch of time.
Well, so can Jimmy Cricket, so we don't know how oxygen works in this.
I didn't make it.
That was confusing.
I was like, he should not be able to breathe. Nope, I don't want to watch this anymore.
And then they're like, oh no, Pinocchio drowned at the end. Even though it's clearly shown that water does not affect him.
Right, yeah, he was just like sitting face down. It's like, yeah, what? He doesn't... What would hurt? Did he have a heart attack? Did he break a leg? Like, there's nothing broken on him.
Pinocchio had a stroke.
He's a golem infused with magic. He's not hurt by any of those mortal concerns.
Oh, and the fish too. The fish, the sexy fish who was in the gold, who was in the bowl the entire time that they were drowning in the ocean. I should have watched out for it. Like, she was dying on the beach, or if she was fine.
I think the bowl washes up on the beach.
Yeah, she somehow doesn't lose any of the water from her bowl or ever. Like, if she had gotten out of her bowl, she probably still would have been fine. Like, it was the ocean. Like, she's a fish.
Well, no. Freshwater versus saltwater. She would die immediately.
True. Okay, yeah. Even if there was a splash of water in there, it probably would have killed her.
Yeah.
Because that's too much salt.
That makes sense.
Other thing I want to go into on. So let's talk about the Pleasure Island here and try to figure this out a little bit more, because it confused me a little bit. Does anyone know the market value of a donkey? Because it seems like this theme park is not a very good return on investment, right? You make a whole theme park. Even if you're loading in little boys on a weekly basis to wreck your theme park, you got to repair the theme park. How much is donkey even worth?
Devastated that somehow the boys have managed to like shred the Ferris wheel.
There's a whole place where they just break shit. Stained glass windows are expensive. They're probably worth more than a donkey.
So, yeah, they're now again, because it doesn't show them being any kind of drug or anything in the drink or smokes or whatever. So I think it's more like it must be a curse involving temptation, right?
Like, just if you go to this island and act bad on it, you become a donkey over time.
You turn into a jackass. Metaphorically and physically in this case.
Yeah.
You should be a bad person.
And Pinocchio and, was it Lamprey, I think, was the name of his friend? They must have been Limp the least Wick. Bad because they changed. Lampwick.
Of course.
Okay.
Limpwick. They changed last, so were they the least bad? Because they seemed like they were still doing as much smoking and breaking and drinking and billiards of all the rest of them.
That's where I stopped cheering for Pinocchio.
When he started playing pool.
I gotta say, when that whole sequence of him smoking the cigar all like halfway in and then holding it and then his face turning purple and then turning green, that is exactly how that feels. I related to that. He like swallowed the smoke.
Yeah, it looked painful.
You're not supposed to.
No,
I felt hungover just watching him.
And yeah, also, it made him like straight up high or something. Like, he really looked bad after that.
Yeah,
he does change a lot slower than anyone else. Like, he just gets ears and a tail, and then that's all that happens, right? So, what didn't he do that the other guys did? Oh, okay.
I think like because it still happened part by part for his friend too, which I know a lot of people have spoken about that. Like, seeing that part as a kid, where the boy turned into a donkey part by part. Is something that has given a lot of kids nightmares, and like they still talk about it as being something that scarred them.
I can see that being terrifying. Yeah,
because it's like it's animated, but it's basically body horror, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the curse has a jurisdiction?
I think so. I think it is Pleasure Island itself is a cursed island that if you stay on it long enough, you turn into a donkey. And they just found a way to make it a place that kids would want to stay long enough.
And so what happens also, I'm curious, what happens in that area where if you're a donkey, but you can still talk, so you didn't turn enough, you get thrown into a pen with other still talking donkeys. What is that for? Do they, does he give them more cigars? Longer. Oh, I see.
Yeah. I think they just have to stay on the island longer and then they eventually get sold to the circus or the salt mines or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I got. That's how
I guess if they sold a donkey they talked, it would be like, hey, I used to be a boy. This guy is turning boys into donkeys. And that would be suspicious and they might investigate.
You're right about the return on investment because they have to ferry over every night. All these boys, they go through so many materials. I wonder how much a donkey goes for. Let me Google.
Yeah, donkey in 1940, what is the market price of a donkey?
Yeah, why don't they just breed donkeys instead of stealing boys and turn into donkeys?
Like just breed, but yeah, have donkey breeding. It seems like an easier way. I guess maybe they also want to get rid of the boys because they're causing trouble in town. Oh, you got a price for us?
I've got it.
Griffin?
Yeah, 60 shekels.
Yeah.
Does that help?
I don't know how much that is.
I don't know how much that is either.
Yeah, can you convert the shekels? I don't know
how many shekels. Yeah, let me Google how many shekels to repair an amusement park.
Yeah, that's going to be on there for sure. Someone's got that. Oh, also something I'll point out about this film. I feel like 90% of the jokes were just people doing double takes. Like it's a joke.
Oh, they
of
went
like,
on with that bit all the way till the end. I loved it. I was super into it.
That worked for you?
I liked it. It made me laugh the first time and the second time. And then the third time I was like, okay. And the fourth time I was like, they did it again. I liked it.
I feel like it would have worked on the audience at the time. But for me, I'm like, okay, let's try a new joke at some point. It's the same joke over and over again.
Fair.
But maybe it was a cyclical thing of like, oh, they're doing this again. It starts to become funny again. Like, I think it was starting to get that way near the end. Yeah.
Maybe they thought this is genuinely funny. So let's keep doing it.
I found it in a lot of modern Disney movies. There is a lot of comedic relief. Like when in Aladdin, you know, Robin Williams is very clearly trying his best. But this there was no attempt at being like funny or, engaging. I did not.
That's so harsh.
I feel like their attempt to be engaging was just to impress you with the animation at all. This is 1940. It's in color, guys. Color. And there's moving pictures on a screen. And yeah. they're bright and colorful. And we're in the midst of the Second World War. It's pretty nice. This is a pretty good time in that context, I guess.
I say they punch low. Their jokes are like, you know, women, those women puppets with their knickers showing and Jiminy Cricket losing it over butts, their butts and his own butt. And the amusement park was so racist. We can talk about that after Griffin points out his thing.
Okay. Yeah, talk about some racist parts.
I'm curious to hear about the amusement park.
Yeah, it was so racist. Well, the whole park is debauchery, right? It's like a bad place for bad kids with drugs and smokes and alcohol. And if you look at some of the, like there was a clown, they basically used people of color to be like, come into my cave. Those, the statues or whatever that are the stands that are part of the rides and stuff. Like there was a dark skinned person. There was, you know, stereotypical like red skin Indian with feathers on their heads handing out tobacco.
Oh,
like,
I noticed that. Yeah. Like stands.
Yeah, those are really racist. I think that was an association with tobacco. Like, still hella racist statues, but I think it was just like, tobacco's from the New World. That's why we put it together. And that's like a marketing thing that would have been very common in the 40s, that like a lot of cigarette brands used Indians on their packaging as their mascots and stuff. That was just a tobacco thing.
I didn't clock any of the other things at the amusement park, though. There's probably something there. And I'm sure Stromboli as a character does not age well.
Yes, they did name that character as a gypsy, which is a slur. So, whoops.
Which character was that?
That's the guy who ran the theater the puppets.
Oh,
the one who never comes back into the movie again.
Yes.
Right.
And is just objectively evil in everything he does. And threatens to chop him into firewood for not performing.
And I'm not sure what language he bursts into when he gets so mad that someone gave him the silver coin.
Yeah, some like ethnic gibberish that somebody thought was a good idea at the time.
Was it maybe? Like, I guess everyone would be Italian in this because this takes place in Italy, but like it
does sounded...
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio Italian?
Figaro.
Oh, Figaro makes sense. I assumed like somewhere like Switzerland or Germany or something.
I'm pretty sure Pinocchio is an Italian character.
This makes sense. They never showed a flag or a map.
Oh, by an Italian writer of Florence, Tuscany. Yeah, definitely Italian stuff.
Oh, well, interesting.
I wish I spoke Italian so I could know for sure. I don't know.
But. Yeah, I don't know what he was saying. I think you're probably right in that it was supposed to be vaguely ethnic gibberish of whatever they were deciding to make fun of at the time. Because, yeah, it's still the 1940s and it's still a lot of the humor is lowbrow. And lowbrow in 1940s definitely means racist a lot of the time. Still does sometimes.
This is just what I had wanted to mention earlier, because this was World War II times. I read into this, and apparently the guy who played Geppetto loved Hitler. Big Hitler guy, and wouldn't shut up about it on set. Yeah.
Oh, boy. That really makes him less of a likable old man. What did the Blue Fairy see in him so much? I guess that's the character, not the actor, but...
Yeah, that was an animated character.
But still, Blue Fairy. I mean... Check your standards. I don't know what Geppetto did to become such a nice old man.
Don't be giving him a child.
Don't be giving him a child. He's going to raise that kid. I mean, Pinocchio's legs probably only know how to goose step. Oh,
and Geppetto sounds an awful lot like Gestapo.
He kind of does.
Or a cold soup.
Okay, yeah. Somewhere between the two of those. Anything else stand out about this film for you guys? Because, definitely was loaded up with some dated stuff that was kind of racist, lowbrow humor. I don't know if Pinocchio deserved his wish. I guess we could talk a little bit about, I did a little research on some things that are different about the Disney Pinocchio and the original fable that it's based on.
Mm.
And one of the big things they did is the original conception was closer to the original myth, where Pinocchio himself is a rascal, is a bad behaving boy. Like, you know, he starts doing objectively rotten things right out the gate. And they had to change it because it made him so unlikable that they turned him into an idiot, naive idiot instead. So that's like the change they made to try to make him a likable character is he's an idiot. And that's why he goes bad things, as opposed to originally he was just on board to do all the bad things because he's a bad kid.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been a horrible experience to watch.
Yeah. Do you think that change of making him a naive idiot worked? Did that make the Pinocchio character itself more likable, or is he just more frustrating?
I don't know what any of the things that he did was necessarily bad. Like, bad to me is treating other people badly. But he was just, he wanted to be an actor, which there's nothing wrong with that.
That's fine, yeah.
He wanted to drink and smoke. People do that. Breaking those windows was bad. I'll say that.
And he did have permission to break those windows because they said he could, right? Like the owner said, you can break these windows. So maybe that's not even bad either.
Then that's not even bad. Nothing,
nothing on that island is bad now that I think about it, because they're like, no, you're allowed. You can play pool here.
Smoking isn't maybe immoral. I would say it's bad for your health. It's probably not a good life choice.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe drinking at the age of, like, what were they? Probably like 8-year-olds?
Probably.
Those kids seem pretty young. Maybe not a good life choice. But again, yeah, not necessarily immoral, just ill-advised.
Right, huh. Yeah. I wonder if eating junk food would have gotten Pinocchio turned into a donkey.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe as well. So I guess, yeah, if you think about it, he doesn't do anything that hurts anyone else.
Yeah.
He just makes poor life decisions, I guess?
Uh-huh.
Which people we can all relate
tell him
to.
What to do, and he's like, okay, that sounds good. Like, it'll make you happy. I'll do it.
Yeah, he's just kind of suggestible, I guess.
Yeah. Because he's a young boy who knows nothing.
Yeah. If you put it like that, I do kind of feel that maybe he does deserve to get what he wants in the end. Maybe he did work
out. This movie is like an adult wrote it because they were mad at their kid for not listening to them. Yeah. Their kid was young. Like, their kid is young, and that's what young kids do, is they go out and explore the world, and they're curious, and they are so innocent and positive and say yes to everything. But a frustrated parent was like, no, you got to listen to me. You got to go to school. You don't go to the theater and be poor or whatever.
Yeah. You listen to me or you're going to turn into a donkey.
Yeah, it's clearly the moral of this is behave and listen to your parents because they know best, which is not necessarily a good long-term moral because, I mean, sometimes they know best. Sometimes parents don't. Maybe you do want to go into the theater. Let's all say we all went into the theater and probably most of our parents were not 100% on board with that.
They're supportive from a distance.
Yeah, my parents are like, okay, that's nice. Here's some job postings for non-theater work you might want to look into.
Shout out to Lynn and Jeff Toplitsky, who have said that as long as I'm happy, they're happy. But they probably won't listen to the podcast because it's probably not for them. which, fair, it isn't.
Fair. Yeah. No, you know, sometimes that's fair. Okay.
Your parents sound like the best. Or your mom. I'm sure your dad's awesome, too.
Oh, he's also good. Yeah.
He'll do your taxes. You've advertised him as doing good taxes on this show before as well.
So. Oh, yeah, sorry. I know we're not at plugs yet, but if everyone can check out Jeff Toplitsky, DBA, if you're in the Innisfil, Ontario area and you own a small business, especially, that's what he specializes in. If you own a gas station or something like that, Maddox, I don't know what your demographics are like. Check out Jeff Toplitsky. He does great work.
Someone owns a gas station. I can't say that's not. There's no reason a gas station owner wouldn't listen to my podcast.
You don't do directed attacks against the gas industry.
That's not a demographic that they bring up on the site, but you know.
That you don't get those stats?
I don't get those stats, but I wish I did. I would target my ads more.
Wish.
If I could. Yeah, I wish I could. Okay, so I'm going to end this podcast then with telling you one more thing that's different about this Pinocchio than the original fairy tale, which is apparently the original fairy tale that the fox and the cat are much more of the actual antagonist to it. And it ends with Pinocchio getting hung by them. That is how the story ends. And if you're thinking, oh, that's a dark way to end it, let me just give you the prose that ends the original Pinocchio, because it is a dark piece of literature. It describes in great detail that moment. A tempestuous northerly wind began to blow and roar angrily. It beat the poor puppet from side to side, making him swing violently, like the clattering of a bell ringing for a wedding. And the swinging gave him atrocious spasms. His breath failed him and he could say no more. He shut his eyes, opened his mouth, stretched his legs, gave a long shudder, and hung stiff and insensible. That's how it ends in the fairy tale. So
holy
dark.
Shit.
Was the fish still hot?
So, no word on that in the Wikipedia, so it's hard to say.
That's crazy. So,
do your own theater of the mind to make the fish hot still. But yeah.
So dark.
So any darkness that we see in Disney, know that the source material they're working with is often much, much worse.
Yikes.
So are you asking us if it would have been better if it ended like that?
Sure, yeah. What are your opinions?
No.
The kids are ready for it. Are the kids ready for the real Pinocchio, raw, uncut?
Yeah, I'm pretty glad with that change. Good editorial choice by Walt.
I think I would be like, but you can't, how do you strangle a piece of wood?
Yeah.
You know what? That's also a great point.
A piece of wood who has been demonstrated to not need oxygen.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's how it should end. It should have been that they still hang the puppet, but then he just goes like, guys, I'm made of wood. I don't breathe. He just berates them for their stupidity of trying to hang him from the tree, and it just does a slow fade out as he just crap about it, and they sit there looking ashamed.
Also, the reality of this movie is interesting. What they've chosen is normal, whereas that fox and cat can dress in clothes and walk around the streets and it's fine. And then Geppetto freaks out that his puppet talks to him.
Great point.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It's curious what they've chosen as accepted reality and what isn't and what is crazy.
Yeah. It's unclear what this fairy tale world decides is good and evil and what is strange and what is normal.
So unfair when people make decisions for you. Like, I think whales are actually lovely animals and they eat plankton.
True hero of the film, Monstro.
Oh, I gotta go. Any fish when they hear the name.
so unhelpful. All right, well, I think we've talked enough.
One more thing I want to mention is that Geppetto has a bike horn and thinks it's his gun.
When was that?
His gun looks just like a bike horn. Maybe that's how guns looked back in the day, but it caught me as too silly.
Oh, right. Yeah, he had like a flintlock pistol that he decided to shoot at in his dark workshop.
Yeah, when Pinocchio when he goes all Scrooge and lights that candle in his PJs and Santa hat.
I think he almost shot his cat using a flintlock pistol, trying to shoot at a puppet that came to life, which wouldn't stop the puppet. A puppet comes to life by dark magic in the middle of the night in your house. Yep. Gun's not going to stop it. It's still going to get you.
Also, I noticed, other than When You Wish Upon the Star, there was no tune whatsoever. Maybe the Fox's actor song, but there was nothing like no big Disney number.
Well, Pinocchio had his No Strings on Me song, too, when he was performing.
Oh, that's true.
True.
None of the music was very good.
they're a bit shorter. They don't stand out quite as much. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think my takeaway from Pinocchio is that I did not enjoy the experience.
Oh, okay. I guess, yeah, we can give a final thought. Yang, did you enjoy the Pinocchio as much as you thought you did?
Minus the parts that didn't make any sense at all. And I was hung up on it.
There's nothing. None of it made sense. It's a talking puppet.
Yeah.
Dumb shit happens, and none of it is still interesting. It's wild.
Okay, well, I think we're getting into the territory of just like making fun of people's favorite childhood dream. So
wrap it up. This can't be anyone's favorite childhood
dream. Someone must love it. If you love Pinocchio, please let us know. All those criticisms are true, but I still love to hear what you loved about it. Thanks so much, Griffin and Chiang, for joining me today.
Yeah, so fun. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll have another episode soon. Well, that's what we came up with, but we want to hear from you. Tell us your thoughts. You can find us on Twitter at BreakAWishPod. Email breakawishpod@gmail.com. Join the Breakawish discussion group on Facebook. And you can support the show by writing a review, telling a friend, or buying a t-shirt on TeePublic. All this information at breakawish.ca. For more Chi Hang Ma, you can check her out improvising as a featured player on Bad Dog Comedy TV, available on YouTube. For more Griffin Toplitzky, you can check out his podcast Killed to Death, available on the Sonar Network. It's usually less than an hour, so it's not that bad to listen to. This is a Kicks and Giggles Entertainment production, hosted by Maddox Campbell, theme by Matthew Reed, cover art by Justin Langford, and a proud member of the Sonar Podcast Network. More podcasts at thesonarnetwork.com. So, what would you wish for?
Hey, Griffin here.
And we want to tell you about our show.
It's called Killed to Death, and every week we solve
a made-up
murder.
It's all improv, with a ton of great comedy guests, like Sean Cullen,
Mark Little,
Sarah Hennessy,
Becky Johnson,
Chris Locke,
a polite no from one of the members of legendary Canadian comedy group Kids in the Hall.
Sometimes you can hear the guys who live above us talking through the ceiling.
Nicole Passmore, and many more.
Check it out on the Sonar Network, where you can find this show, or search Killed to Death wherever you get your podcasts.
Killed to Death.
It's usually less than an hour.